The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus told his disciples a parable. Can a blind person guide a blind person? Will not both fall into a pit? No disciple is superior to his teacher. But when fully trained, every disciple will be like his teacher. Why do you notice the splinter in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the wooden beam in your own? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me remove that splinter from your eye," when you do not even notice the wooden beam in your own eye? Hypocrite, remove the wooden beam from your eye first. Then you will see clearly to remove the splinter in your brother's eye. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
When fully trained, every disciple will be like his teacher. Jesus is talking about Christian formation. And it's all meant to make us like him. That is the whole purpose of life. And he sends plenty of opportunities for this training. We need to do it. And it's not a one-time thing that we go to the spiritual equivalent of boot camp and then just pig out on Big Macs for the rest of our spiritual lives. That training is an ongoing process in which Christ is trying to form us to be more and more like him. So we have to participate and cooperate willingly. Today's gospel, we see various aspects of that training, full training, to be like him. He doesn't want us to be blind people leading blind people. He wants us to have the perspective of his kingdom, of the real, real world, so that we can guide people effectively. And that's why he needs us not to compare ourselves as superiors to others, but to compare ourselves to him in the ways we still need to grow. So that's why he says, building on this reality that blind people can't lead blind people, that people who are tied down by sin, with their intellects clouded and their wills enfeebled, aren't going to be good guides for others. So he tells us, don't obsess about other people's problems. Focus first on your own problems. Fix your own problems so that charitably you can help others with their own. Psychological principle that Jesus knows very well is that often one of the biggest diversions from our own problems is to see the problems of everybody else. Jesus wants us to be able to look at others and their problems, not with condescension, but with compassion. And the only way to do that is to start looking at ourselves as he does, feeling both our continuous call to conversion as well as the balm of his mercy to make that conversion efficacious. Jesus wants to train us to become fully like the teacher. But we've got to will it. That's the call to sanctity. Today's first reading, St. Paul builds on this very theme of the type of training that's needed. For anybody who was ever an athlete, it's great to find athletics in sacred scripture because athletics is a training ground for a lot of the virtues we need in life in general and in the spiritual life in particular. St. Paul says, "Do you not know that all the runners in the stadium run in the race, but only one wins the prize? Run so as to win." And how are we going to do that? How are we going to be real winners? We need training. He says every athlete exercises discipline in every way. They do it to win an imperishable crown, but we an imperishable one. What is our training? How faithful are we to it? We need discipline in order to be true disciples. The Master wants to discipline us, but He sends the wisdom of the saints. He sends the wisdom of the church. He sends the approved rule within religious institutes, precisely to make us champions. A lot of the times our goals are too small. And if we set low goals and make them, we don't achieve much. God's goals for us are very high. He talks multiple times in the Gospel about our becoming great after His image. Great in serving the rest among us. Great in converting and becoming like little children. Great in observing what He teaches and helping others to do the same. Jesus has high standards for us, His own. But we have to enter into that school of discipline, to exercise discipline in every way, to run so as to win, not run aimlessly, fighting the real opponents inside and the devil outside, rather than shadow boxing and punching imaginary phantasmic adversaries. He stresses, I drive my body and train it, so that after having preached to others, I myself shouldn't be disqualified. For somebody who is a preacher, a teacher of the faith, somebody who wears black or blue and white, we're held to a higher standard still. Everybody out there in the world with redwoods in their own eyes are going to notice even our peccadilloes. If one day we have an anger issue and we snap at somebody, they may remember it decades later. One of the biggest learning experiences that I wish everybody could have in life, but only priests can, is to hear confessions. And you know, one of the habits that lots of confessors use when somebody comes back and says, Father, it's been 30 years since my last confession, to break the ice after saying how happy you're making God by coming back. Do you realize He was talking about you when He said, Heaven rejoices more for one repentant sinner than for 99 who never needed to repent. After that, you generally ask, because they don't know what to do, could I ask you why you came back and what would have kept you away? And the what would have kept you away question is not, most of the time, well, I was in an illicit relationship and I knew that I didn't want to repent of it. That sometimes happens, but it's not the case. What often happens is the lack of charity, the bad behavior of Christians. One of the teachers in Catholic school made me feel like an ant by the way she belittled me. I asked a pastor the day my mom died, we didn't have any money to host a reception, if we'd be able to use the parish hall, and he just snapped at me and he said, of course not. We never allow people to do it. Or whatever the case, often it's bad behavior of Christians on a bad day. What's most challenging is a sizable percentage of those responses have to do with a previous confession in which a confessor wasn't merciful and it scared them from coming again for decades. That's why we have to drive our body and our soul and train it so that we will never be disqualified. St. Paul, with that heroism in ordinary daily disciplining, was helped by the Lord to become capable of real sacrifice in his apostolate. Woe to me if I don't preach the gospel. He wanted to preach the gospel everywhere, but he knew that he couldn't get in the way. Letter to the Romans. Much of the good he confessed he wanted to do, he didn't do, and much of the evil he wanted to avoid, he couldn't avoid. He had that scallops, that thorn in the flesh, which constantly plagued him. St. Paul, as we see in all his letters, was a highly emotional guy, quick to anger. He had to battle, and battle he did. And he asked forgiveness even more than he blew a gasket. But he teaches us how to cooperate with the Lord's training, so that even with lots of issues, as Paul did, he was honed more and more like the Master in Paul's own flesh and blood, so that Paul would eventually be able to say, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." He was able to say that truthfully because his whole life was a sculpture project in which he was allowing the Divine Master to hammer and hammer away, so that he would be able to be conformed more and more to the image of God and fleshed in Christ. Today on 9/11, these messages today are so important. It's easy to look back and condemn the evil of terrorism, and we have to. But it's not enough. Nothing will ever justify the taking of innocent life as happened on that day. But we also have to be humble enough to admit that they really weren't attacking us fundamentally out of envy. They weren't attacking a place in which they said a sizable percentage of the population are like Jesus the Master. They were doing it because demagogues were able to whip up people with a great capacity for sacrifice, even giving their life for a higher cause and for God, to think that we were the great Satan because of some of what we tolerate here, including the evil of abortion, but much of what we export to the developing world, from porn to pills to IUDs, to contraception, to weapons. We can go on. As we see the evil, we also have to look in the mirror and say, we too need to change. They need to change, we need to change. Which is why on 9/11, we always foremost ask for God's mercy. But when we look back 19 years ago too, we're able to see how many people were trained like the Master. Jesus said, "Love one another as I have loved you," and no one has greater love than to lay down his life for his friends. And that is the fitting commentary on all those who ran into danger then fled from it, willing to offer their lives, as many of them ended up doing. We saw that heroism on those on United 93, making sure that nobody else would die on the ground. We saw it in the ordinary gestures of so many, caring for those who were directly impacted, waiting in line for hours to have needles stuck into their veins in order to give blood to help other people. Ultimately making that action a commentary on the words of consecration: "This is my blood given for you." When we look back, we see both how much we need to change and the way the Lord can form us. Because we're trained to be like our Master, not just on tranquil days, but on days when literally all hell is breaking loose. On 9/11. That's when the true character of Christians shines. That's when the heroic virtues that are formed every day are able to be of real use. That's when people seeing and how we respond to situations in which everybody else cowers with fear, that we are the disciples of the one who said and meant, "Don't be afraid, I am with you always until the end of time." This great vocational technical school of training under the aegis of the Master is the Mass. This is where the Lord, through the liturgy of the Word, forms us so that we can see as He sees. He gives us His Word, which is a lamp, not just for our eyes, but for our feet, so that we might live in accordance with what we teach. This is where He feeds us with Himself on the inside, so that He, as our personal trainer, is able to sculpt us to be more and more in His image. And it's from here He sends us out, each day, trained a little bit more, with a woe, to proclaim the gospel to every creature. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.